Hi guys, welcome back to Two Kims.
One Pod.
We're your host. I'm Peter Kim.
And I'm Eunji Kim.
Eunji, so good to see you. How's your week going?
It's going okay. How is yours going?
Mine's been bad. I told you we were supposed to podcast yesterday and I was hoping to because I was in a really bad place.
Yeah.
Let's just get into it because I called you. Well, I left you a series of angry voice notes. Not yes. Anger towards you.
No.
At all. Towards my life and my situation.
And because the industry.
I got fully triggered yesterday. And this hasn't happened to me in a long time. So it was a kind of a weird situation where I woke up and I saw a barrage. I don't know if this is what you saw when you woke up and saw your Instagram, opened your Instagram. But I saw a barrage of updates of every single comedian in LA, minus me, posting about their Netflix is a joke special show. Everyone's doing 1 hour and everyone's doing it during this festival except for me. And here's what. If I didn't submit for it, I wouldn't be upset. But I did actually submit for it.
Sure.
Not my hour. I submitted 5 minutes. But they said, absolutely not. And I felt so, and this is, I understand logically this doesn't make sense, but I felt so left out. I felt like my 11-year-old self not getting invited to Danielle DePaz's makeout party.
Oh my God, a makeout party! Okay,
and this is when everyone was learning to make out, yes, and I wanted to learn.
Yeah, everyone wanted to learn. Okay, Peter, also you're talking about how you felt left out, even though it's not logical. It is logical. You were left out. Everyone was.
I was left out.
You are left out. Like, what are you talking about? This is the
Do you know anyone that's not at the festival?
Yes, most people. I don't live in fucking LA, and I mean.
No, I'm talking about LA people, of course, not Chicago, but like LA people, like everyone you know that does comedy is doing that festival.
No, that's not true. Not everyone I know. Okay. Categorically not true.
You're right. You're right. I'm freaking out because it feels like everyone. When you see post after post after post after post after post, it just reminded me of like, and it's not that I even like wanted that festival that bad or something like that. It was just so in my face over and over and over again. I was talking to my friend Karin today. And I was like, I just got really triggered and I feel so stupid. I'm 42 years old. I should not be feeling like this over a social media occasion. Uh-huh. And he was like, bitch, you live in LA. We can't even drive without seeing billboards of our friends or people doing better than us. So like, it's just the abuse we sign up for. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. Like, I just haven't felt that way in a long time. And I forgot.
Yeah, because that things have been going good for you. I mean,
I know,
like,
things have been going too good.
Okay, so like, fuck you. Like, oh my God, I haven't felt jealous about anyone because like things have been just going so good for me. Like,
I wasn't thinking about other people for a second, and then I was like forced to. I didn't ask for this.
Peter,
I didn't want to think about other people.
I mean, like, it is also. I am a particularly vengeful person, so maybe this is just for me in particular, but I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling jealous or feeling that level of vengeance and injustice in yourself. I think that shit keeps you hungry. I think it is positive. It's like, it's a good fat. It's a good fat. It's an avocado. It is not potato chips. Like, this
grizzle.
Yes, this is avocado. This is bone marrow. These are good fats.
It's sunflower oil.
It keeps you young. Yes. It keeps you young. It keeps you supple. It keeps you hungry. It makes you slippery a little bit. You know, like kind of like you're able to, you're not as inhibited by scruples or morals. Like, you are hungry. And if things are starting to really work out and like you are still in the end, no. No, because also this is the horizon. This is 100% the horizon. Even if you got there and you had been invited to the festival, you would have been bitching about the venue. It would have been this. There's
100%.
That's why.
I'm never going to be happy.
And that's why. I mean, that's the vengeance.
That's like, the void.
Like, yes.
That's the void. Mm-hmm. But here's what, Eunji. I completely agree with you on the vengeance part because you know I am driven by it.
Yes.
But as most Koreans are, most Kims out there are. But here's what. It took me longer to get to Vengeance. You know, like, you remember Old Boy?
Yes.
He doesn't immediately go to Vengeance. There's a stewing time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time of thinking about it, planning it, feeling the victim, feeling the hurt, feeling the absolute boot on your face, humiliation,
mm-hmm.
the bad stuff that gets to the yummy avocado fat of vengeance. But you have to cut through all the negative emotions. And maybe that's what I was feeling, is that, like, I haven't felt those, like, that negative. I'm usually quick to vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that? Then this.
Yes.
But for some reason, it took me like a whole half day of feeling hurt.
Yeah, because things have been working out for you. But this is like a situation where you got to show your work, right? Like, you can't just go to vengeance. You have to show your work. And the work is that you have to go through these steps, the processing and anger.
It felt bad.
Oh, it's horrible. It's not.
It felt really bad.
This is how you get ulcers. This is how cancer starts in you. Of course, it feels awful. But it is.
I know. That's why I needed us to get on the mic to scream. And you were like, can we actually push? And I was like, fuck. And then I successfully sent you three of the screamiest voice notes I've ever sent to anyone.
I was in my office, like, and just like playing your voice messages. It sounded like I was upsetting a student because of the screaming.
Oh, you were at your school office, not your home office.
No, that's why I couldn't. I'm at DePaul and like I'm playing your voice memos and it sounded like I was cutting a student out of a production. The way that
a disgruntled gay be like, you will not take me out of the Wiz. I don't know why you're doing the Wiz, but it's the first thing that came to my mind. Wow. People are walking by thinking like, okay, her office hours are lit. Cool. She really cares. Yeah, well, thank you so much. You're one of the three friends I was able to reach out to that pulled me off the ledge. But one good thing that came out of this experience is that I realized I have real friends, even within the industry,
mm-hmm.
that we can really be grounded with and normal and have at least a funny take on something like this, because it felt really like isolating for a second.
Oh, of course.
I know it's not true, mm-hmm. but seeing that many people being like, this thing I submitted for that I got rejected from, it just felt it was too much. But now, after a full day, and it was Valentine's Day too.
Yes.
And I had to like slap myself and be like, get the fuck over it. You have a beautiful partner.
Yes.
You have a beautiful life.
Yes.
You guys are going to go out and have a fun night. But I did, I told you this off mic, I freaked out and applied to two comedy festivals or three comedy festivals. And I have five shows this weekend. So I went crazy. I went absolutely nutty. And I was like, this will not stand. I will not go down quietly.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear me scream all the way down to hell. So, I feel a little better.
I mean, that is, you know, yesterday, literally, I was like, I am directing in this like student production of a stand-up show or whatever. And I got a DM from a friend of mine that was at a bar show, and he was telling me that it was a good new show. And you know, I'm looking at these 19-year-old aspiring comedians that are so filled with optimism and excitement for comedy, and I just got a DM from a 30-something guy who just made $20 and was DMing a 42-year-old lady about how it was a good show and I was excited about it.
I got excited. Yeah. I got excited for it. I was like, whoa, a new good bar show? Fuck. I could make my Uber ride there and possibly back. Possibly. Go absolutely off, King.
And so, like, I mean, there is, you know, when you're talking about, like, the hustle of it and the grind, there is a part of it that I think, Peter, it's harder in LA, but I know people, like, if you put your, take your foot off the gas just a little, if you're not booked in some sort of round, 1 month, like, cycle of shows, you're kind of fucked because people don't see
you. You're out.
You're out. You get spun out. And so then you have to, like, kind of, like, wait until the double dutch thing and jump in again. Yes. But that's on you. No one's looking for you. There are
no one's asking for you. No one's pushing you into the double dutch.
No.
Honey. They're like, they got their quarters. They're like, I'm next.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And so, and it's not on them. Even if you have good friends that are going to pull you in, that's great. But those are few and far in between. You know, and you do go through, I will say this as having gone through it, like you do get lazy with it, especially when people do start pulling you in very frequently. You get accustomed to just having a booked out months, but you gotta, and not only that, but then you become,
you can never relax.
This is the lesson.
You can, don't ever stop looking over your shoulder, bitch. Some bitch is coming after you and they are younger, gayer, hotter. They have more followers.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I am feeling it, the is, pressure.
It's like the never before. It's the hyphenate of it. And it's like, it's strange, Peter, because we are, in terms of comedy, kind of like on, you know what? We're on the same cusp as, you know how we're on the cusp between Gen X and Millennial.
Uh-huh.
We are on the cusp between social media
And like IRL.
Old, yeah.
Old school, new school. Yes. You're right. Yes. That makes sense. We are the bridge internet generation. We lived without and lived with.
And we've been
so doing, we're constantly learning how to do it.
And we've been doing comedy up like right. We're at like what? 12 years? Like, so it's just around that time when it started. We're like,
and
just,
also you and I don't have the luxury of having started as young people our demo.
Right.
We are old demo and we started late.
Yes.
So we really are scratching. I'm like, if you could, like, a visual metaphor for the way we are with comedy is like, imagine a horror scene where someone is being pulled under their bed and we are scratching at the hardwood floor. That's what I see when I see myself out here in these comedy streets. I am really, truly being like dragged to hell and I'm holding on for dear life and my nail beds are corroding.
And the thing is, there are, the monster isn't even trying that hard to drag you. It's like they're not even doing it full strength. They're just kind of tugging at your sleeve. But the way that you feel it is because weak, because we're old.
It's mostly gravity. Yeah. But exactly.
Because they're so old. I mean, there are parts where I do feel fortunate for having started much later, because I think we had more life to talk about.
Talk about. Yeah, 100%.
So we are afforded that advantage. But at this point, I'd rather.
Girl.
I would have.
I'd rather be like one of these girlies out here talking about nothing.
Oh,
and
my God.
Being
I would love
like
to talk about nothing.
Yeah.
I would love. I mean, I'm
can
looking,
I, okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my face and I'm looking at my hormones and I'm, you know, I told my team this. I was like, you know, I have like 3 more years before I turn to dust. Like, I will literally the hormones, I'm going to fucking start going through menopause.
That snail trail will fall off at some time, honey.
Like, this is going to be moist for only, like, the clock is ticking. So we got to make something happen, because it's, you know, the hormones, like, the second that the estrogen starts going away, the periods become, you know, less frequent. I mean, that's when I become Ajima. Like, you know how.
Oh, and you know your ass is going into premenopause fast. I can feel it, too. I can already feel it. Yeah.
I mean, all of it.
Because you've already had 2 children, and, like, your body, I feel like, is, like, shut it down. You know, like, not just you, but anyone your age, anyone our age, you know, like in their 40s, that's like shutdown time.
Oh, absolutely. Like, let's slow it down. And
yes.
Also, it's right now, women, especially like Asian ladies, you kind of, people think that you look younger, right? Already. But I'm talking about entering an age where we start looking good for our age. You know what I mean? Like that distinction, right? To go from, oh, she's like in her 30s, I think. She looks like she's in her whatever, to she's in her 40s. She looks good for her age. Like
she looks good.
She looks good.
Yeah.
That's the
difference. Like, I've seen some bad 40s, but she looks
good for her 40s.
Good for her 40s. Yes. That,
I will be in my 40s.
Exactly. You are entering, you're like speeding into mid 40s. We
like
both are.
True middle age. Like we are also entering the era where I will say, how about this? Our death is no longer going to be a tragedy. It will be a surprise.
Wow. Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's how old we are.
It's soon, in 8 years, people will be like, people won't be able to say, gone too soon. Like, bitch, 50 years is plenty.
I mean, if we were, throughout the course of history, you would have been a witch for living that long. Like,
a demigod. They would have called you Moses. Like, this Abraham living 800 years. Like, they were like, what the fuck? I heard someone say, like, ain't nobody lived 800 years. Like, that motherfucker was 43. And they were like, this bitch was 800. Like,
it's the same. It's like an ancient gay man who's like predisposed to hyperbole. Like, bitch, you're 800. Yeah.
And someone wrote it that was like, okay, that's funny. And then, and then text became Bible.
Wait,
but
wouldn't it be crazy if like the entire Bible was just like a comedian's like bit notebook and we took it in?
That someone found. It's like Paul's notebook. What if there was no wine at this wedding? What would Jesus have done? What would be funny if Jesus did? Okay, bitch, there's a lot of people here and there's only two loaves.
Let's see what you can do with this loaf. Let's see what you can do with this fish. You know what I mean?
Put on a show, mama. It's a gay comics. It's like Antiquities Mateo Lane's notebook.
Slay, mama. Okay. You've been slewn. But it's true.
Sloon is so funny. I love sloon. You have been sloon. Yes, I am feeling old for sure. And that's, I think, part of the Netflix scare was I'm acutely feeling irrelevance every day that I wake up.
Yes.
And it doesn't help that I live in Los Angeles, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, La La Land. So everything feels like really in my face of like, bitch, die. Move, go into the dirt from whence you came. You know, like it really feels that.
Pardon, aunt. Like as they step over you. I will also say, because I am currently teaching 19-year-olds, I really feel this because they do not know anything. They were born in post 9/11.
Sick. Illegal.
Illegal.
No one should be born after 9/11. You know what I mean? Like,
because these are the people that will forget. Okay? These people.
Honey, forget. They don't even know what happened.
They never knew.
Yes. It's like how we think of Pearl Harbor. Every year, they're like, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. You're like, what happened? Something about Hawaii? I can't remember. The day that will live in infamy.
Yeah.
What? And then we come along, we're like, what happened to Pearl Harbor?
I mean, it is really crazy. And like the irrelevance that I feel is acute. But I will say that you forget how stupid you were at that age. Because you're wrapped up in the nostalgia of everything and how willing you were to be daring and open. But me looking at them, they are children. They're 100% children. And I did not feel that at that age. There's no telling me that I was not grown at that age.
No way.
No.
19, you're out of the house. You voted. Bitch, what?
What?
You crazy.
Oh, I'm an adult. I know. I'm going to kill George W. Bush. I'm outraged. I'm protesting.
Oh my God. You and I honestly would have been such great friends, because after 9/11, I went into a huge thing about how George W. Bush is becoming a wartime president and yes. our rights are becoming completely erased because of that. I wrote thesis. I took electives in college about the Middle East conflict because I was like, I needed to say something. That is hilarious. I know. Imagine going back and reading your Zanga pages.
Oh my God.
By the way, which I have kind of recently, about a year ago, I found my Zanga.
And?
Horrific. Absolutely. No one. Why? Everybody thought they needed to. Their thoughts needed to be recorded. I mean, what are we doing right now?
TikTok. what are you talking about?
No,
are you,
I know.
Are you
now
to
it's
roast
like
what we're doing right now.
No. Now,
to
I mean,
my face.
Kind of. What are we doing? No, but now it's like normal. But back then, when the internet was nascent, this is pre-Facebook, people. Putting your blogs. Mm-hmm. I was literally blogging my life, and really being so fucking wordy.
Yes.
And so descriptive. And I was so I just had learned new words because I had studied for the SAT. I'm like, bitch, let me use these fucking words.
Things began to get acrimonious between us.
That's right. I felt caged like a bird in an aviary.
I went out on my veranda.
Ooh, nice. A Latin word. Oh, my God.
I mean, I do understand this. It is also the impulse of... Let me just say this. So I've been listening to Harry Potter on audiobook for a while because of my son. And it is well written, but also... J.K. Rowling doesn't have none of these characters are going anywhere without an adverb. No one's just walking. He's walking sprightly.
Briskly.
Yes. He's walking with everything is a descriptive. It's can we fucking get a red pen in here? Why can't they just run over there?
Yeah, let's get to the thing, honey.
Yeah.
All right. Heard of Hemingway? Keep it curt. No, but I think that maybe makes it YA.
Yes.
Very that adverb use is very young writers thing.
For sure.
And then as we get older and read adult books, you realize a lot of those descriptor words for verbs unnecessary, unless it's adding towards the conflict or the problem or whatever the fuck it is.
For sure.
I'm sure listening to J.K. Rowling, is she reading it or someone else?
No. It's a British guy.
Oh,
reading
okay.
It. I will say it's
God.
Also because.
Thank God.
Yes. It's also because I think as you get older and the writing and also your life, it's so much, there's so much drama and real action. There's real stuff happening. That is the thing. There doesn't need to be that much description, right? The adjective all of a sudden doesn't need to. It's not doing. It's unnecessary. And I was thinking about this recently because. So if I was young, when I was 19, if one of my friend's parents died, it would have been my personality for a year. I would have. Oh my God.
Only worn black. Yeah.
That trauma, my proximity to that trauma would have defined me.
Yeah.
I would have been depressed about it. That is what I would have talked about. Well, she can't come because she's processing and, it's just kind of crazy.
Because you had no other personality, you were looking for something to attach to?
No, even it is. I had personality, but it was that I had nothing
else
going on, right? When you're right. young, that's a crazy event. That is that's one of the most dramatic things to ever happen in your life. I remember when certain parents got sick and it being like looming large in my life. And and at this point, I would say at any given moment, 50 to 75% of my friends' parents have cancer, are dying, or have a medical emergency. Like, it doesn't even register to me because there is actual shit happening constantly.
That's right for the times. Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, we're in that zone.
you know what I mean? Like, that's what I... That's
we're in the zone of decay.
So yeah. It doesn't even register. I think about it and it's just another thing I'm folding into my day. Whereas when you're 19, that is
it's everything. Yeah. Can I tell you, when I was in middle school, do you remember the O.J. Simpson trial verdict?
Do I remember Johnny Bordo waving his Bulls jersey over his hand and screaming, "The juice is loose," down the hallways of Parkview Elementary School?
Yes. Iconic moment. It was like at that time, the 9/11 of that time. And it was the like most watched thing. And I remember when the verdict was announced, they announced it over the PA in our junior high school, in our middle school. Like, that's how important it was. And then that same week, the PA that never does this asked for my friend to come to the principal's office by name. They didn't like send someone down. They were like, "This is an emergency. Blah, 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 needs to come to the principal's office." And we were like, whoa, two PA announcements in 1 week. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And turns out that this friend, again, we're 12.
Yeah.
This person's dad was killed at their house. And they were announcing it to her. They wanted her to come to the principal's office to go home. Because it had just happened. And we had all found out about it. He was shot. On their front lawn. No, outside. On the front lawn. And it's all we talked about for the rest of junior high school. Yeah. Isn't that fucking crazy? Asian girl. Asian girl.
What happened? Was it like a attempted robbery? Personal grievance?
Personal. Could you imagine? Not an accident. Not a misfire.
Wow.
12 years old. The only thing we're talking about. I felt so bad because like, that's not that my friend's fault that happened and the PA, but the PA thing made us, if they did it quietly, none of us would have known. But because the PA thing asked for them to come to the thing, the rumor mill started and then everyone found out. And this was the news of the 2 years I was in middle school.
Wow.
And that poor friend had to leave to go to high school and start anew.
Of course.
Because that was all she was known for.
Of course.
Isn't that crazy?
Is she okay now? Was she able to like start a new identity as whatever version of herself?
Wonderful, thriving, beautiful, gorgeous, everything. But it was a tragedy that all of us were like, because that's not something any of us had experienced before.
For sure.
I mean, that's not what anyone experiences.
Any normal,
much less, that's what I mean. Much less a 12-year-old class of kids. Psycho. Wow. And because I think we grew up in New York, we're like, yeah, that's right. What happens. Rough and tough. Yeah.
That was the
school of hard knocks. Because we think about it at 12, we were like, but there's not enough like what you said, life experience or like good brain matter to like chew on that.
Right.
Like what that means and why something like that would, and what, how that would affect the reverberations of the family unit. And,
right.
You know, like, now I think about it, I'm like, how did the mom survive this? But, like, two kids, single, they had to, yeah. And they were like, yeah, I know. Their whole life changed. Like, it was such a tragic event that, again, they're fine now. But for us, like, we were too young to process. So we just chalked it up to, like, New York's dangerous, bro. You know, like, that's how a lot of what we experienced was chalked up to, like, hey, we live in the most dangerous city in the world. That's what's up.
I mean, also, it was the heyday of gangster rap. Like, it is.
That's, yes. 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 We were all, again, immigrants, yeah. Immigrant Asians. So there was a lot of underbelly type things happening.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
I mean, so everyone's, not everything everyone's selling, was above board.
Of course. Everyone's selling cigarettes out of a trunk. Yeah, for sure. everyone's got big bags of something. You know, I just like those like rough, the big bag of something. If you're an immigrant
kid. The imin gabang.
Like, if you're like a poor immigrant kid, there's like the big bag of stuff that's just
the huge bag. Yeah.
Whatever. It could just be like something. It's just so clearly. Yeah, like shoes, clothes.
Illicit material.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's just cigarettes. Like, I just remember, like, whiskey bottles. Like, all these things mm-hmm. that just randomly come out. That big, oh, my God, that big plastic bag. I'm, like, imagining right now. But
yeah.
But it also is the heyday of that sort of music and that. Because I'm telling yeah. you right now, you're living in New York and you're living the life. I was in a suburb outside of Chicago. We were also living that life.
Of course. It was permeating through the culture. And we had nothing to attach to besides hip-hop.
For sure. Yeah.
Culturally, there was no other ethnic, other culture happening.
Yeah.
Besides first wave K-pop, but that was from another country. Like, in America, we had Biggie, Tupac, and that was it.
Well, I mean, I mean, very specifically... Yeah, I mean, I guess like rock and roll and grunge, whatever, but it wasn't as...
If you were like a more privileged Asian, maybe your parents were of scholastic ilk.
So that's why you got to wear Vans instead.
Well, you know, you're attaching to white.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
As opposed to black, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I didn't know a lot of people that were attaching to white. Mm-hmm. I knew way more Asians that attached to black culture. A, it was cooler. And B, it was the time where, you were right, the gangster rap slash the like kind of, I don't want to say co-opting, but the like overtaking of Italian slash Irish mafia culture. And like The Godfather, Al Pacino, like this stuff was being like kind of co-opted into black culture as like, oh, this is how you are to be hard, or this is what real gangsters do, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Asians were diluting the hip hop stuff and making like AZN culture out of that, which was like the Rice Rockety type of. You know,
we had our own. We've never talked about this, but it's true. It's the intersection of Asian culture and hip hop is AZN culture.
It is. That's our like fusion. That's why Fast and Furious works. Although there are no, like, Sung Kang's the only Asian.
Yeah, but yeah.
Except for Tokyo Drift, we had our own. Which is, I don't even know if it's canon. You guys let me know. Because Paul Walker's not in it.
All you FF heads out there. FNF heads out there. Yeah, let us know if it's canon. Because, yeah, Paul. I mean, at this point, there have been more Fast and Furious without than there are with.
Wow, look at that. The legacy lives on.
Yeah.
Time keeps on slipping. So you were more the grunge girl. You were, or the like emo?
Oh, so I would every year come back from the summer different. So I
okay. You were trying stuff on.
I was just trying stuff out. I was one summer very I was living the life, and then the next I was wearing long white long sleeve white long white sleeves and short, you know, tees on top.
Oh, were the sleeves, were you like bunching the sleeves up and holding and them with your wrists?
Like that.
Oh, God, I could totally imagine that look right now.
You know, I would vacillate back and forth. And then, especially that era of very specifically 6th through 8th grade.
Yeah.
It was really in the culture. Everywhere, like, well, that's the that is yes. when the JNCO jeans, that was
yes.
really going hard.
Chain wallets,
like very hard up until our sophomore year.
That was 6th and 7th grade for me. I guess like kind of into 8th, I would say I was grunge curious. But let me tell you, I still remember this day. This half Asian girl in my middle school.
Uh-huh.
She was just kind of like a normie Asian girl.
Sure.
And she, 1 week, like you, came back goth.
Oh.
Like black eyeliner, black lipstick, everything. And she was like, come hang out with us. Like, I know you're Asian, but you don't have to hang out with only Asians. You could hang out with these like white kids who are putting black makeup on, being grungy and listening to Hole. And, you know, exactly. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. So I spent, I think, maybe like 2 weeks with this crew of like somewhat diverse.
Sure.
But it was just like me and that half Asian girl and everybody else was white. And there was this one black kid, but he was culturally white.
Yeah.
And we were all hanging out in this basement. And I remember she was wearing these wide leg jeans and she hadn't washed her hair in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
And because she was like, oh, it's we don't care about like being clean. Like, fuck the establishment. The establishment wants us to shower or whatever the fuck. I don't know what it was.
I mean,
but it was just being anti.
The way the 12-year-olds take in culture is it's wild. Yeah, yeah.
So crazy. And she was really leaning into like and trying, to her credit, trying to really like bring me onto the grunge crowd.
Uh-huh.
And that one, like, I guess it wasn't a party because it was only 4 of us. There was a session where we would just like listen to Hole and listen to Nirvana.
It was Hole specific, or it was Nirvana and Hole and Soundgarden?
Oh, all of it. But she loved Hole and she had just gotten the CD. So we had to keep listening to fucking Hole. Anyway, so we were sitting there and she was like, okay, who wants to play Spin the Bottle? Because she was the only girl. And I remember immediately feeling like, oh, I don't want to kiss her.
Yeah.
And then at one point she leaned over, not to kiss me, but to like tell me something about this guy she wanted to kiss in that Spin the Bottle thing. That's the only way anyone says, that's the only reason anyone like suggests Spin the Bottle, because you want to fucking kiss someone and you're just like, too shy to ask. And when she leaned over, I smelled her scalp.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh no. grunge is not for me.
I gotta get to my cool water roots. I gotta go back to my cool water roots.
My polo sports. Okay.
My Nautica's roots.
My Banana Republic dress slacks. Okay. I'm looking semi-casual.
Oh my god, the way the hold that Express Men's red...
Honey. Remember Express Men? Before it was Express Men, it was Structure.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But when it became Express Men, it took it to... It was really...
Next level.
Next level, you know?
Yeah.
I 100% agree with this.
The smell for me. Like, I was into everything. I love the angst. You know, I divorced parents. Like, I was perfect for that. But the smell. I'm so sensitive to stank that, like, it just, I couldn't do it. I could not. And she, if she just washed her fucking scalp, I would have been a different person right now.
That's crazy.
I would have never fallen into ASEAN culture.
Yeah.
I would have been like fucking Seattle rock or whatever. You know, like I would have been like growing my hair long. Like that's what I would have identified as all through middle school.
Wow.
But because of her hair, I was saved.
So, but I mean, it's wild that she was your emo Sherpa, that she was willing to take you there. And
she wanted another Asian there.
Ah.
Because she, I think as a biracial, she always felt like in and out of places.
For sure,
so she wanted another like Asian face there.
Yeah.
And for me to be like part of that crew.
Fascinating. I've never had anyone take me through like that in terms of
a subculture.
In terms of a subculture, 100%. I also
how did you enter subcultures?
I just would
battering ram in. Yeah. Hey, okay. What's going on here?
What's going on here? What do you guys like? Tell me where you got these pants. What's going on?
I guess I've always been I don't know if it's been lucky or I'm just a coward. I don't think I have that in me to like push my way into a subculture. Like I'm always waiting for someone to bring me in.
Yeah, no, I just no, because no one would have invited me. I mean, you're talking about spin the bottle parties. I never went to one. I've been to zero. I've never played spin the bottle. Never. Oh, so dear. I think it is. I was blessed with no shame at an age when
you've never played spin the bottle.
No, I've never played spin
the bottle. Even as like a young adult, like college.
No, in college. No.
I don't know. Like there, I hung out with some virgins in college.
Yeah, I was not. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
you're like I'm totally fucking bitch.
I'm fucking. What are you talking about? Spin the bottle. I'm just going to go.
You know, I was a virgin until 19.
Yeah, you spin the bottle. No, you. I literally remember just being like recognizing all of a sudden. Right. It doesn't matter. You could just ask. It never extended to sexuality, but I'd always been like that, kind of being like, do you want to start making out now? And I just remember how many boys were just like, what? And I was like, yeah.
What?
You want to do it now?
Let's go.
Let's go. Or do you want to go over there?
Let's try this.
Do you want to do this? You want to go over there?
I'll go wherever you want. Do you have a basement? Attic?
You want to do it here? You want to go on the street corner? The 7-Eleven parking lot? Like, I literally, this was my attitude. So I'm blessed with no shame.
No shame.
About very specific things like that.
Yeah.
It must be because I'm mentally ill. Like I truly there's yeah. Like, I mean like a level of delusion tied in with, because it's
you
not as
that.
If I, because it wasn't as if I wasn't insecure or I didn't like I liked myself. No, a lot of self-loathing, like regular teenage spiraling and hatred of self and insecure and all those things. But yeah, when it came to subcultures, I was always I always understood that it was about the books, the music, and clothes. So I was always just kind of
interesting.
Copy paste.
In that way, you almost cracked the code of like, if these are the things I know, then I can be part.
That's it.
Right? Like you had the passport of entry into the thing.
Yes, and I also think that's part of the reason why I don't attach too much to that subculture, because I understand how copy and paste it is. That is just simply this. But the people, essentially, because I've been to so many different groups, the hierarchy essentially is the same.
Right. It's just like a church is a church is a church is a church.
So it's always some sort of person that is alpha, the person satelliting them, the hierarchy and the social nucleus, the way that all the atoms and things spin around each other, very similar. It's just copy paste books.
Okay, well,
music,
let's circle it right back to comedy then, because it's just another church at call it entertainment, call it Hollywood, whatever. Now it's becoming
ego.
Blurred. Comedy used to be comedy.
Yes.
But now it's all blurry now. But it's like you said, it is copy paste. Mm-hmm. It is the same workings. But it seems like this is something that we've attached ourselves to.
Oh, this is most fundamentally closest to who I am.
Who you are.
Yes.
Yes. And it's because I think we are allowed to speak uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's it for me. I identify with any subculture that lets me talk without you fucking talking.
I think it's a confluence of like a lot of things for me, but it is most fundamentally closest to what I am. That it's artsy enough. There's the talking and the takes and the opinions of it all, and the distrust of authority
systems
calling it out. Mm-hmm. And fundamentally, it's both pretentious and not. That is, I think, really something that speaks to me because of the nature of comedy. It is kind of always inverting in and on itself. And if you are on top, then you have to go on bottom and then spin around again. And philosophically, this is me, essentially. Ethos-wise.
This is me. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think here's what. Unfortunately, and I won't speak for you, just speaking for myself, this is the church that I am tithing to and actively being part of.
Absolutely.
But because of my personality, of not enjoying, but not really seeking to do the fellowship part, I feel, and that's what I've done with every subculture I've
absolutely
been part of. Like, I'm just like, let me, I just, what is this? And then when it comes to like the people part, that's where I get turned off. And the people part is what keeps you tuned in. The hierarchy, the the satellites, the alpha, and that's, I'm realizing what my problem is that like, this is, like you said, the most in tuned with who I am, as far as like what, where I want to be, what I want to be doing, but I still can't shake my inherent core issue, which is I don't want to be around you.
You want to go to church. You want to, you love God. You love church. You hate everyone that believes in God and belongs to that church.
Not everyone. It's just very few.
I mean,
and that's my issue.
I don't think
people is what makes that church worth going to. It's,
I agree.
Right? Like,
I agree.
It's the people.
Absolutely. But I would say also, and we've talked about this, that the Ajumas and the Ajashis that are the most active and the most plugged in are often the least devout, are often the least good. And I think you would find that true with the people in the Church of Comedy as well. Because when you invest too much of yourself in the, it is still ultimately a personal relationship that you have with yourself and the art,
the
business of comedy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think you still need to find the people and the whatever. I think with this very specific thing, with industry makes comedy a mega church and it makes it insufferable. But that doesn't mean that you still can't go to another
There's
church.
Other smaller churches. Yeah, you're right. That is a great way to think about it. Like, it doesn't have to be, just because you're a Christian, you don't have to go to Hillsong. You could do it your own way.
And much like Hollywood, it has its own sex scandals. I think that.
Yes. I mean, anywhere with men, you're going to find that.
Anywhere with men?
Sex. Scandalous sex. Okay? Doesn't
say,
matter which way it's oriented.
I was going to say men in neck, like long necklaces and leather bracelets.
Oh.
There's, because I feel like it's a very specific genre of Hillsong guy. But, but like, I think that there are also people that are very good at the people thing, almost too good. And you see that.
Not enough on the other thing. Yes,
and
I know.
See that. And they become actually, they start their own cult. And they go off and they have a messianic kind of complex because of it. And it's all understandable. I don't knock the fact that they're doing it, because if I had that sort of charisma and it was that intoxicating, What are you talking about? I'm starting my own cult. We're going to jump off this bridge. Everyone's drinking Kool-Aid. We're all, we're leaving tomorrow on the spaceship to Xanadu. Yes.
Let's go.
But I don't, that is not my own personal relationship with this. So fortunately or unfortunately, that is simply not something. And I will say this very specifically to this Netflix shit.
Uh-huh.
It's 1 year. It's just this year. You got next year. You got the year after that. It's all, you know what I mean? It's just this year.
It's just this year. And here's what. If I got it next year, I wouldn't even be happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, it would be because I didn't get it this year. With all the people I know. And just to wrap up this whole episode, I'm learning that my reaction to that and the triggering and being left out and all that really comes down to me. Like, you joked earlier, oh, you're feeling bad because you've had it too good lately, you know, like...
You haven't been jealous of anyone?
You haven't been jealous? Good for you.
I consume by it every day. Okay. Yeah. I'm burning in a hell of my own making. Okay.
Well, that is mental illness. It is, but it's something that I'm realizing that, like, it's not... It is of my own making, and it is... I can be less pressed about this because I wasn't pressed about it February 13th. You know what I mean? It's just that day, those barrages, me feeling shitty and that. And what that really means is just go back to your work and go back to my work and my thing. Just put your fucking head down, because when you put your head up, you're going to see billboards. You're going to see this. You're going to see that. And everyone's screaming about what they're doing. Just keep your fucking head down. And that's what makes me actually feel a little bit of comfort, is that, like, I just have to put my blinders on. Like, I'm getting distracted. Unfortunately, it's on my fucking Instagram, but it is what it is. It's what it turns out to be, is a distraction, and it's a pull away from the work. So that's what I'm finding after 24 hours of absolute meltdown, is that what I would have told anyone who came to me with this is, like, just go back to work. Like, this is all mess. This is all fluff.
And this is
it's
today.
Noise.
This is it's today. Noise. It's noise. And I will say that I have been making a concerted effort to be off my phone more, and it has had an appreciable effect on my mood and productivity. I'm talking significantly appreciable. Like, it feels psycho, and realizing how much this is affecting my mood and my perception of myself and my life, even though I'm well aware of its effect. Even though I'm well aware that it means nothing, it still affects my mood. So being off of it, because my friend also was spiraling about it, not just you, another friend of mine, and was also
a comic.
Yes. Okay. Equally as upset about it, kind of spiraling. And it's because they were also seeing the same feed. And, you know, I'm not necessarily in a position to even be angry about it, but I also didn't realize it was happening. And so it had no...
See, that's the thing.
I had no idea it was happening. It had no bearing on my mood. But I experienced it by proxy through the two of you. And so then I texted our manager to be like, what's happening with the festival? And and she must have been getting it from a bunch of people. People. She had like a very copy and paste response.
What did she say? It's like, just this year. There's always next year.
Whatever. But It is not only the thief of joy, the comparison, right? But I think it does such, it whittles, this is the insidious nature of it, is that you think that by intellectualizing and knowing its effect and knowing that it's bad and knowing this means nothing,
that you're safe from it. You are not.
We're not. Not no. Unless you're actually divorced from it, unless you're actually putting it away. And it's the same thing with anything else where you're like, I know when you, if you have a relationship with alcohol or anything else that's not great and you know that, if you're not doing it, it's
it doesn't
the same,
matter.
It's the way that people are will apologize or take ownership over something. I'm taking ownership over this toxic behavior, but then doing nothing about it. Not doing any of the work. So just going back to your point, it's, it does ultimately... The work.
Yeah. Just go back to work.
Go back to work.
That's really all it is. Just go back to work.
Because we can
sit
never
the fuck
stop
down
working.
And go back to work.
Because none of us can retire.
In this economy? No.
We're going to work until we die.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening to our episode and just the trials and tribulations of being alive and and a comedian. You know, and this goes for everyone, I bet. It's not just comedy, but any industry you're in, if you're on Facebook and you're on the social medias, you can't help but see the barrage of information about how shitty your life is. And it really is just a projection of how you're feeling that day. And I'm just thankful for you, Unji, and my friends who I have a relationship with and a capability to just scream and then and then go back to work.
Yeah.
And that's really just all we have. And that's it. So I hope this was somewhat relatable for people. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
And supporting us. Bye.